Torah Yutes in Likut Imran, Chelek Aleph. In our Likut Imran, it's page 58, the right-hand column, about three-quarters down the page, in middle of a paragraph, in middle of paragraph Gimel, where it says, V'yosef, al yidei shehoi eloi shleimus loshna kodesh. We'll give a short review of the last shiur, because the last shiur we started this chapter in Likut Imran, and we said that this chapter should take about five or six shiurim to cover, at least. And it's a very important chapter that has a lot of yesoidus of Yiddishkeit that a person needs to understand. Rabbi Nizal began the chapter by saying that one of the questions that people have in religion is, why do I have to travel to a tzaddik to hear Divrei Torah from his mouth, when I can just the same learn Sifrei Musar, look into Sforim, read the books? Why do I have to bother actually traveling to go see a person and hear it face to face from him? And Rabbi Nizal said, Ach be'emes hu toyeles godol. But the fact is, there's something very, very important that's accomplished by learning through this specific methodology, face to face, word of mouth, receiving the Torah, word of mouth from the tzaddik. And Rabbi Nizal went on to say that there's a very big difference between a person who hears Divrei Torah firsthand from the tzaddik, a second level being a person hears it from somebody who heard it from the tzaddik, a third level being hearing it from somebody who heard it from somebody who heard it from the tzaddik, and then Rabbi Nizal said, further than that is reading a sefer. That a person has to know that even as important and as critical as it is to learn Torah from Sforim, if we want to get a shiur today from Rabbi Akiva, most of us don't have that privilege. It's not possible for us to sit and attend a class being given live by Rabbi Akiva, but yet we have the privilege of learning his shiurim from the Gemara, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Medrash, all the different Sforim HaKadoshim that quote his words. And there's definitely a chiyuv to learn that. However, Rabbi Nizal here points out that where the opportunity is available, where the privilege is available to be able to learn directly, face-to-face, there definitely is a tremendous importance to it. Then Rabbi Nizal mentioned the fact that a Jew must purify his face to such an extent that when somebody else would look at your face, without you having to say anything to that person, without you having to reprimand the person or to tell them what they're doing wrong, simply by looking at your pure face, the person would immediately be able to see what's wrong with them. Your face would reflect like a mirror, where the person could look and realize what they're missing, what they're lacking, what they need to fix, and thereby be mischarit, have charota for whatever they need to have charota on. That was the second paragraph that Rabbi Nizal touched on. And then Rabbi Nizal went on to discuss the topic of Loshon HaKodesh, the importance of how precious Loshon HaKodesh is. And now Loshon Kodesh is represented by Chava, the woman. V'laylo l'laylo yechave das. Yechave means to speak. And Rabbi Nizal discussed the fact that through Loshon HaKodesh, Hashem, as we say in the Shmoneh Esrei Anyan, Devroi Memono Mikol HaLashonos, that by Hashem giving us a connection to Loshon HaKodesh, that's what places us, the Am Yisrael, above all the other nations. And then Rabbi Nizal went on to describe the Ra of the other nations of the world, that there are basically 70 nations of the Goyim. Each one of these nations has their own individual type of Ra. One nation is into murder, one is into znus, one is into stealing, each one into their own evil way. But the Zohar Kodesh says there is a Ra HaKoylel in which all of these nations are involved, basically, and that's the concept of impurity in terms of Taivas Niuf, Taivas Noshim, conducting themselves in an impure way related to men and women, all the items that pertain to men and women. And Rabbi Nizal said that's called the Madura Shel Shivin Koychovim, that's called like a flaming, a raging fire that's composed of 70 burning stars representing the 70 nations, that all their Ra is Nichlal in this Taivas Taiva HaKoylel, and that the Tikkun for this
is Loshon Kodesh. There's a pasuk Loshon Noifel al Loshon. That not a pasuk, a statement in the Gemara, that in the Hebrew language, for example, when Hashem called Chava an Isha, because she was taken from an Ish, so Rashi HaKodesh says, Loshon Noifel al Loshon. We see that in the Hebrew language, sometimes one word is an extension or a variation of the root from which it comes from. Ish is a man. Isha means something that came from a man, a woman that came from a man. So the Gemara uses this expression, Loshon Noifel al Loshon, that which could also mean, when those words are taken literally, it means one language falls through another language. And Rabbeinu Zal explains that through Bnei Yisrael using Loshon HaKodesh, by speaking Loshon HaKodesh, this gives Bnei Yisrael the power to bring about a mapola to the other 70 nations, which are known as the other 70 languages. Now, just for a moment, to quote an item that's mentioned in the Meforshim, when we use the term Loshon HaKodesh here, on one hand, we're definitely referring to a person speaking the words of the Torah, which are written in Loshon Kodesh, the Torah Shebichsav, the Tanakh, which are all written in Loshon Kodesh. On the other hand, the Parporos Lechochma, Rav Nachman Shigrinzal says that if you take a look in the Likutei Etzos, where Rav Nosson Zal writes his commentary, his explanation, and understanding of the Likutei Moran, he writes that what do we mean by Loshon Kodesh? Sheyishmoir es haloshoin vahadibur, that a Jew is required to guard his speech. Sheloi lifgoim oisoi bediburim pigumim chas v'sholom sheldvorim betelim v'loshon hara ushkorim ukiyotze. To watch his mouth, to make sure that from his mouth should not come forth any dvorim betelim, any words that don't have a positive, productive purpose. No loshon hara, no shkorim, or any other types of words which are considered diburim pigumim coming from a person's mouth. Rak adara, but just the opposite. Lekadesh es hadibur bediburim kedoshim shel toiru tfila. For a person to see to it that the words that come out of his mouth should be words of holiness, which means words of Torah, words of tfila. Speaking about Hashem, speaking to Hashem directly, was speaking to people about Hashem. V'gam ha'tfilo shemispalel beinoy levein koinoy u'mefarsh zichos elefonav yisporach b'loshon ashkenaz shona b'dabrim boy. And even those tfilos, whereby a person speaks to Hashem his spiritus, not in Loshon Kodesh necessarily, but in his own language, the language that he's most familiar with, which in those days, in their place, was the language Yiddish. Nowadays, for Americans, it would be the language English. Each person, according to the language that they're most familiar with, Rav Nosson Zal says, "Gam ze bechlal shleimus loshna kodesh yechoshev." That's also definitely considered in the category of shleimus loshna kodesh. When a person uses whatever language they're familiar with for Kiddusha, that's also the concept of Loshon HaKodesh. He's using his tongue, his words, for Kiddusha. That's another form of Loshon HaKodesh, of Tikkun HaDibur, of all the things that we're speaking about in this chapter.
What's the position of the set of tape in relation to the readings they are getting from a rabbi? Does it make any difference? Is it considered like a book, or is it like halfway?
As far as I know, It's probably something in between reading a sefer or seeing the person's face. There's no question at all that listening to an audio cassette is not as good as live, but it's definitely considered an improvement over reading a book itself. No question. In terms of the koil, hearing the actual sound, a video where a person sees the image certainly is also a mila. There's no question about it. When it's used for this purpose, for sure. I once heard our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha say that nowadays the whole concept of a person's avoda in this world is to bring about an elevation to items in creation. For example, the fact that Hashem gives us permission to eat meat is because of the fact that according to the Torah, man is considered a higher level of creation than animal. If man is a higher level than animal, then man has the right to kill animal in order to eat that animal, when the animal is killed, bigdusha, not hunting for sport, chas v'shalom, but where he's going to eat the animal and convert the animal to become man. He's going to make that animal into a man. It's going to become part of his metabolism, part of his bloodstream, part of the organs of the body. And when he serves Hashem subsequently, his divrei Torah, his divrei tefillah, that animal, the nutrients and the good that he got from that animal is going to be used to serve Hashem. That's why the Gemara says that an Am Ha'aretz is not permitted to eat meat. An Amor, it's a person who doesn't want to study Torah at all, doesn't want to be religious, has no right to eat meat because he's not doing the animal a favor. The animal might do him a favor if the animal eats him up and he becomes elevated to the level of behemoth, in a sense. Same thing is with plants, vegetables. There are persons making, skipping a jump, in a sense, skipping a level. When a person eats vegetables, he's taking tzoymeach and elevating it to medaber. When a person takes a, Rabbi Zichron Livracha said half jokingly and half seriously, when a person speaks into a cassette is doimim. It's the lowest level of creation. It's an inanimate object. We take doimim and we convert it to medaber. We take the cassette and get it to talk. That's a concept of taking something and really elevating it in a high way. Okay, let's continue now from where we left off. The Yosef. Rabbein Azal says now, V'yosef al yedei shehoyoloi shleimus loshna kodesh. We know that one of the outstanding tzaddikim of all time in this specific area, being zeichet shleimus loshna kodesh, he achieved the perfection of dibur. Kemoi shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ki pi hamedaber aleichem, that when he finally revealed himself to his brothers, at first he was hiding from them. In other words, he presented himself as the viceroy of Egypt. They didn't know who he was. And then finally, when he wanted to show himself to them, he wanted them to realize that this was their brother. He said, can't you see that it's my mouth that's speaking to you? So Rashi Kodesh says, what do you mean? Rashi Kodesh says, Beloshen HaKodesh, quoting the Gemara. That means he showed them that he knew how to speak Loshen HaKodesh. So he wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Jew. He was their brother. So we see that the Torah testifies that Yosef HaTzadik was zeichet to Loshen HaKodesh. Alkein kosuv boy. Now note, again, the Parbrois L'Chochma says, look how important it is to know your Gemaras, to know your Rashi and Chumash. When Rabbein Azal gives a shir, he's talking to each person on his level. He doesn't necessarily fill in. He's making assumptions that you're familiar with some of the concepts here. The Gemara also says that when he said, ki pi hamedaber aleichem, he showed them his bris milah. He showed them, look, that I am mohul. That's also called a peh, a concept of a peh. The bris haloshoin and bris hamo'er. Both of them, the word bris is used to refer to the mouth of a person and also to the bris kodesh. These two always go together. Loshen HaKodesh goes together with Tikkun HaBris, as we learned in last week's shir, that those two are one and the same. So because Yosef HaTzadik was zeichet to Loshen HaKodesh, al kein kosuv boy, hanimtza koze ish asheruach lekim boy. Therefore, Paroi said, once he interpreted Paroi's dream for him, Paroi said to the people, is there anybody that possesses a Ruach Elohim like him? Meaning, Ruach Elohim, Hainu Tikkun HaBris. We learned last week that the term Ruach Elohim refers specifically to purity in the area of Tikkun HaBris. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, V'loi komo oid Ruach Bo'ish, that man will no longer sin in this way. This word, v'leikomoid ruach bo'ish, the Gemara Darshans over there, refers to the union of Tikkun HaBris. So we see that Yosef HaTzadik, who was zeichet to Loshen HaKodesh, automatically that implied that he was zeichet to Tikkun HaBris. Those two go together. Ki b'Loshen HaKodesh, tolui Tikkun HaBris. Because according to how well a person purifies his dibur, that's what determines his level of Tikkun HaBris. Bebechinas mikan shenesar lohem aroyos. The Gemara learns out from that posik that from here we learn out that Hashem told the Jews that they were forbidden to marry illegal relations. So we see that this term ruach refers to Tikkun HaBris. I believe it's the posik v'leikomo oid ruach bo'ish. Rabbein Azal quoted it earlier. Just a second. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki ze beloy ze I efshar lihiyos," because one without the other is an impossibility. Hainu tikkun habris ushleimus loshon hakodesh hem tluyim ze bo ze. These two items depend on each other in the most serious way. That if a person wants to be zeche, to be able to speak bigdusha, it depends on how pure the person is in tikkun habris, according to how strict the person is in following all the laws of the Torah in terms of purity in dealing with these laws pertaining to men and women. If a person wants to achieve success in being pure in that area, it's dependent on Lashon HaKodesh, how much the person is particular to speak only Dvarim Shebikdusha, Divrei Torah, Divrei Tefillah, and to speak also in this language of Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh v'roye zoynois yoivad hoin." There's a pasuk in Mishlei which says that a person who is poigem in the bris, a person who follows, who chases after adultery, through that he loses hoin. Hoin means his wealth. Al tikri me hoincho ela migroincho. The Gemara darshins on a different pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, "Kabed es Hashem mehoincho," give respect Hashem from your wealth. The Gemara darshins, "Al tikri mehoincho elo migroincho," give Hashem well, give Hashem respect through your throat. So we see that the word hoin is also used to refer to the throat, to the koyach hadibur. V'roye zoynois yoivad hoin, a person who's poigim in the bris loses the throat. He loses the koyach of dibur of kedusha. Shehu bechinas loshna koydesh. This means that the person loses the dibur of kedusha. Kimi shepoigim bebris ma'abed loshna koydesh. A person who does the wrong thing in the area of tikkun habris, such a person destroys his power to speak words of kedusha. He'll find it difficult or impossible to be able to speak divrei Torah, divrei tefillah. These two are connected. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh kabed es Hashem mehoincho." This is why the pasuk says, "Give respect to Hashem from your wealth." Kabed daiko. Why does the pasuk use the term respect specifically? Kiboy tolui bechinas kovoid. Because it's in the throat, in the goroin, which is the hoin, that's where the kovoid, the main respect, is dependent on. Ki hepech hakovoid heim cherpois ubizyoinois. Because what's the opposite of respect? Embarrassment, insult, shame. The opposite of respect is shame. And v'heim toilin b'mokoy marayin kemuva b'tikunim. And we know that the true shame of a person is in the area of bris kodesh, as is brought in the Tikkuni Zohar. The Tikkuni Zohar says on the posik v'lo yizboishoshu that Adam and Chava walked around in Gan Eden without clothing and they weren't embarrassed. It says they weren't embarrassed. The Zohar HaKodesh says, ein boishes ela b'mokoy marayin. The center for embarrassment and shame within a person is the bris kodesh. So we see that if a person is poigame in the bris, it results in the person shaming themselves. The greatest shame and embarrassment is when a person commits sins in that area. Therefore, the kovoy to Hashem comes from the goroin, the hoin, which is the goroin, which is dependent on purity in tikkun habris. It's the purity in tikkun habris that gives the person the shlemus of loshon kodesh through which he can be mechabed Hashem.
Is the proof from that pasuk, Moses, doesn't show that they dafka were not embarrassed to walk around without clothing?
Because they were sholem and tikkun habris. The moment there was pigam habris, the moment they went against the command of Hashem, they nochosh hitil bozu amo, immediately there became a need for clothes. Then there was the shame. The moment the nochosh injected his foul advice, which represented this concept of a tomei zera, into Chava, that moment already there was a need for clothes. There was busha, there was pigam habris. Arayan, who pigam habris? Rabbi Nizal says Arayan is the Indian of pigam habris. Bechinas orlo, bechinas ki cherpo hilonu. We know that the term shame, Arayan, refers to pigam habris, as we see that when Shechem took Dina by force, the brothers used the wording, and the brothers were instructing the people of the city of Shechem to have a bris milah. They said because ki cherpo hilonu, it would be a shame and an insult, an embarrassment for us to marry into family of people who didn't have a bris milah. So we see that the union of tikkun habris is what's called cherpa or kovoy, the opposite. The word kabed, which is the opposite of shame and insult, it's dependent on a person's hoin. What is hoin? Hainu bigroincha. It's dependent on your throat. Shehu shleimus loshna kodesh kanal. Which means it's totally in a person achieving shleimus loshna kodesh. That's how he'll be zeicha to be mechabed Hashem, because shleimus loshna kodesh is synonymous with tikkun abris.
What do we have to explain that Orion is the Bechinas Arla?
That's like the same type of thing. Yes and no. What he's asking is an important question. The fact that that word Arla is snuck in here is not Stam. Because one of the major themes of this whole chapter on Likutei Moran is the concept of Arla. The fact that there is a law in the Torah that discusses that when a Jew plants a tree in Eretz Yisrael, the first 3 years, you're not allowed to derive any benefit from it. It's osur legamri. The fourth year, you have to do a special act in order to be permitted to eat from its fruit. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Why? The Arizal explains there's a secret to that. That in the vision that Yechezkel HaNavi saw of the throne of Hashem, it says he saw a light of chashmal, which represented the Shechina, and around the Chashmal, he saw immediately surrounding that light of the Shechina, he saw Noiga, which was a certain type of bed, but not all bed, it was a combination of good and bad. And then the outer circles to that, he saw a concept of three outer circles, which were called Ruach Se'ora, Onon Godoil, Eish Mislakachas. They represented the Ra Gomor, the total bed. Rosh Gomor. The Gemara in Brochus discusses Rosh Gomor, Rosh Hashena Gomor, Tzadi Gomor, Tzad Shena Gomor. The Ra Gomor is those three klipois. The in-between, something that's close to Kedusha and close to Tumah, is that Noiga. The law of Orla is where we see this, and the Arizal says that's the concept of a bris milah, when we're choytech the Orla, because that Orla that covers the bris kodesh of a Jewish child, that Orla is ra lo. That represents this ra, this pigama bris, these three klipois, which represent complete tumah. The tumah that must be cut away, must be eliminated, must be destroyed, versus the noiga, which we're going to learn a great deal about soon, which represents as something in between, something that can be nichlal in the kedusha, just like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday represent days that are kuloi ra. It's yemei achoil. It's all bad. Friday, it's possible to make part of Friday nichlal in the kedusha. There's a mitzvah of Tosfos Shabbos, starting Shabbos early, taking a piece of Friday and attaching it to Shabbos. That you have a license to do. Can a woman light candles on Friday morning? She wants to make the whole day Friday Shabbos. Osir, brocha levatola. She would have to light again. There's only a certain minimum section, piece of Friday, the piece that's closest to Shabbos, that it's possible to attach it and make it part of the Shabbos. Because that represents the noiga. I made a mistake before. Sunday also. There is a piece of Sunday that can become part of Shabbos. What is that? Tosfos Shabbos, Moitzoi Shabbos. If you extend the Shabbos, you have permission to add 72 minutes for each person according to their shita, depending on where they're living. You have the right to take part of Sunday and make it Shabbos. Literally turn it into Shabbos. Why? Because that piece represents this noiga that can be nichlal in the kedusha. And that's all this halacha of Orlo. The first 3 years you can't have hanoah because the fruit of the tree during that first 3 years, these three klipois are being shoyer on it, which you can't make a tikkun for those three klipois. Even if you make a bruch on it and you wash it from today till tomorrow, there's a ra on that fruit during that period of time that we can't be misakin. Netarvai, during the fourth year, which represents this fourth klipa, this klipas noiga, there, if you do an extra maisa of dragging it to Yerushalayim, dragging yourself to Yerushalayim, which is the highest kedusha, there you have the potential to affect the tikkun for it. That's why that word isn't snuck in stam. Now Rabbein Azal says, v'shem Yosef, even the name Yosef, the fact that this tzaddik was called by the name Yosef, Al Shem Shlemus Loshna Kodesh. That name, we always know that the name of a person tells about the importance of the person. The name Yosef reflects this Shlemus of Loshna Kodesh that he achieved, Shehu Tikkun HaBris, which we said goes hand in hand with Tikkun HaBris. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Osaf Elikim Escher Posi. Rochel Imenu, the mother of Yosef, was very embarrassed. She was ashamed that her sister was having child after child, and she wasn't. The moment she had the privilege of giving birth to Yosef HaTzadik, she said, Osaf Elokim Escher Posi. Now Hashem has gathered in my shame. Now I'm no longer ashamed, embarrassed. She was speaking Beruach HaKodesh Benavua, that this child that's being born, he's going to be the epitome of the opposite of shame. Shame is Pigam HaBris, he's going to be Tikkun HaBris, Shleimus Loshna HaKodesh. Ki boy toloi kovoid, because in this child, Yosef, will be toli vinyan of kovoid, ki ein boishes ela b'mokom arayin kanal. Because we said shame is b'mokom erva, Yosef HaTzadik, who's Tikkun HaBris, Shleimus Loshna HaKodesh, he's the ikar symbol of kovoid. The osaf alekim escher posi, Hashem removed that ki cherpo hilonu. Period. Next. Now again, in this chapter, first of all, reminder, this is not an easy, as chapters of Likutei Moran go, this is not an easy one, and the concepts that are being dealt with are not easy, and Rabbeinu Zalmanau is simply putting pieces of a jigsaw puzzle in, which as we're going along, you don't necessarily see clear connections. He's going to throw things on the board, and in the end, he's going to weave it all together perfectly. You're going to see how every single thing here is connected and how one leads to the other and how important, what kind of practical advice in Yiddishkeit we're going to learn from this Torah. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'nochosh shehu hora ha-koilel hanal, the snake, who is the symbol of the ra ha-koilel, Pigam HaBris, Kishain, as we said before, that the Nochosh was the one about whom the Gemara uses this wording, Hitilbo Zuamo, that the Nochosh injected Chava with a filth, a concept of Pigam HaBris. Hanochosh Hishiani, that's the wording in the Pasuk, the Nochosh advised me Vo'echel. The Zohar HaKadosh says, no, she used the word Hishiani, Miloshin Nisuin, marriage. The snake married me. A concept of Pigam HaBris. When Rabbeinu Zal explains in another chapter in the Likutei Moran, where a person is giving somebody advice, it's like injecting zera into that person. That's how important a kesher it is, and that's why it's so critical to receive your advice from a tzaddik, not from a rosha. Because receiving etzos is a concept of nisuin, marriage. If a person receives advice from a tzaddik, it's nisuin digdusha. If a person receives advice from a rosha, chas v'shalom, it's nisuin diklipa. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, the Nochosh was the Ra HaKoilel, Kishe'ein Shleimus B'Loshna Kodesh, when a person is not perfect in Loshna Kodesh, Azai Hu Hoylech V'Sholeit, I'm sorry, when the Loshna Kodesh is defective, then Azai Hu Hoylech V'Sholeit Al Loshna Kodesh, then the snake latches on to the Loshna Kodesh. The snake who's the symbol of the Satan, he latches on to the Loshna Kodesh. Bebechinas Nochosh Shultenose Al Bisra. The Zohar HaKadosh uses a terminology that the Nochosh, the snake, is able to latch on to and to control the Basar. What does Basar refer to? Hainu Bechinas Chavo Kanal. The term Basar is one of the nicknames of Chavo. Shehi Basar Mibsoroi. If you recall, when Chavo was created, Adam said she is Etzem Me'atzomai U'Basar Mibsori. She is flesh from my own flesh and bone from my bone, meaning she came from him. So we see the term Basar is used about Chavo, who represents Loshna Kodesh. Bebechinas Bsar Kodesh, which is brought in Yirmiyah, and the Zohar HaKadosh uses that term very often, Besar Kodesh, to refer to the union of Tikkun HaBris. Tikkun HaBris is when a person keeps purity of the flesh. The Lahavdil, there's this concept, sin of the flesh, referring to Pigam HaBris, and Tikkun HaBris is an union of Besar Kodesh. V'ze bechinas nochosh shepito lechavo vehitil bozuamo. This is the concept which the Torah discusses, whereby the nochosh seduced Chavo and injected into Chavo a filth, a certain type of filth, zuamo. Shehu ruach seora. This represents that storm wind, the storm of the Satan. Haruach Shtus, the concept of a foolishness, Eishes Ksilus, the woman of foolishness. V'hoylech u'mefate es haruach ha-kodesh. This nochosh works at seducing the concept of loshna kodesh, the ruach ha-kodesh, which is loshna kodesh. Isha chachomo, the woman of wisdom. The nochosh tries to bring her down. We find in the Torah there's discussion about an ish eshes ksilus and an isha chachomo. The whole mishle is filled with speaking about these two types of women, referring to the side of kedusha versus the side of tuma. So Rabbi Nezal says the Nochosh tries to inject filth into the Isha Chachama and bring her down to the level of Isha Eishes Ksilus. Umatel Bazuamo, Vize Bechinas, La Pesach Chatos Roivets. This is what the Torah means when it says that the sin stands at the entrance, waiting to attack, waiting to pounce. What is La Pesach? La Pesach hainu pischei picho sheloshna kodesh. This means that the Satan lurks specifically at the openings. What openings? The opening of the mouth. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Shmoyer pischei picho. Watch how you open your mouth. That's where the Satan is lurking the most. Shehachatos hazeh roivets linak mimenu. It's this specific sin of pigama bris that's lying in waiting, lurking at the person's mouth to pounce at the person, to him in the bris, automatically lead him to be poigim in the dibur, in the Lashon Kodesh. That's why the word Mila also has that mal yud ke in it, mal representing the 70 nations, the ra of the 70 nations. And the Yud-Kei representing the Chochmavina train ray and Deloy Misparshin, the opposite of this Eishes Ksilus. Rav Nosson Zal talks about that in the Kuti Aluchis. Now Rav Nosson says, Vida, and you should know, She Eishes Ksilus Hazois, this woman of foolishness, Shehu Klolius Hora Shel Shivim Loshoin, which is symbolic of this concept of Taivas Niu, Pegama Bris, exactly. Hara shel shivim loshoin iefsher lohem linak meisha chachomo miloshna kodesh hanal elo alidei bechinas eitzadas toivora. We know that originally there was Adam, then Hashem created Chava, and everybody was okay. There was no problem. There was a nachash also. The nachash was alive. Adam was alive, Chava was alive, everybody was cool, there was no problem. Suddenly the Torah says Hashem gave them instructions not to eat from the Eitz Hadas Toivora, and the moment the Eitz Hadas Toivora came into being, the moment the instructions were given not to eat from the Eitz Hadas Toivora, suddenly the Nochosh had a way of getting to Chava, attacking Chava. Via this item, he was able to get to them, to cause them to fall, to get them evicted from Gan Eden, to get the decree of death to be introduced to the world, and to get the decree of the suffering of Parnosa, Be'itzavoin Toichalna, the decree of the suffering in childbirth, Be'itzavoin, that a woman has difficulty in becoming pregnant, and all the difficulties related to bringing children into the world. All of that came about once the Eitz Hadas Toivara was introduced. Then the Nochosh had a way of getting to Chava. Before that, he couldn't. Rabbi Nezal explains this now, that you should know that the Nochosh, which is represented by this Eishes Ksilus, has no access directly to Chava, who is the symbol. Chava is the symbol of Dibur of Kedusha, Loshna Kodesh, unless he goes via the Eitz Hadas Toivora, which means She'al Yodoy Hu Mefate Es HaLoshna Kodesh. It's through something that has good and bad mixed into it. That's how the Nochosh is able to snake his way into Chava, to work on Chava, umatil bo zuamo, and to inject into Chava this zuamo, this filth. It the Nochosh require, in seeming to imply that Loshna Kodesh is something that's so holy, so pure, the Satan can't get to a Jew directly, to make the jump from Tumah to attack Kedusha impossible, too far a jump. Therefore, there is an intermediary step, something that's not Kuloi Kodesh, something that's a combination of good and bad, and that's what the Satan can use as a stepping stone to get to a Jew.
Rabbein Azal says, V'eitz hadas, sheyesh boi shnei koichois, shehen toiv vora, this eitz hadas, which had a combination of two powers in it, both good and bad, hu emtsoi bein loshna koidish, that's the in-between, the go-between, between loshna koidish, shehu isho chachomo, shekuloi toiv, ubein loshna shel shivim amamin, shekuloi ra. This eitz hadas, toiv vora, is the intermediary between Isha Chachomo, Chavo, Loshna Kodesh, Ruach HaKodesh, that's on one side of the fence, and on the other side of the fence is Pigama Bris, Nochosh, Raha Koilel, Eshes Ksilus. Now Rabbein Zal says, the Eitz Hadas Toivora, this Eitz Hadas, which is a combination of good and bad, Ze Loshen Targum, that's the concept of the language called Aramaic. Shehu emtsoi bein loshna kodesh ubein loshen shel shivin amomin. Aramaic targum is the intermediary between loshna kodesh, the language of the chumash of the Torah shebichsav, and the languages of the goyim, the 70 languages of the goyim. Now Rabbi Nizal says v'loshen amomin. Kisheroitzim linak mi loshna kodesh. Now these languages of the goyim, when they want to be able to attack or to draw strength from Loshon HaKodesh, Yefsher Lohem Linak Mimenu El Oide Loshon Targum. There's no way that they can go direct. They can only get at Loshon HaKodesh via Loshon Targum. Loshon Targum Hu Bechinas Isho Maskeles. Because we know that Loshon Targum is a concept of not of Isho Chachomo, and not of Eishes Ksilus, but of something in between. Something that's called Isha Maskeles, which could swing either way, as we'll see in a minute. Rabbein Azal says, what is Isha Maskeles? Bechinas Maskil Al Yidei Turgamon. The Gemara says in Psochim that whenever Dovid HaMelech begins a chapter with the word Maskil, it means that that chapter was given over through a translator. So we see that the word maskil, maskeles, has to do with loshen targum, which is a combination of good and bad. Why? Rabbeinu says, ki loshen targum yesh boi toiv ora. Because targum has in it good and bad. Lefa'omim hu bechinas maskil. Sometimes targum represents a concept of sechel, which is a holy concept, a good item. Ulefamim hu bechinas meshakel. And sometimes the word meshakel, same letters as maskil, means kill, to destroy. By Agag, when Shmuel Anovi killed him, what did he say? It says Vayishasef. No. It says that he said, now your sword that killed so many people, use that word right. Just like you shochalta noshim charbecho, now I'm going to slice you up. He used the word mishakel to mean killer, murder. So we see that this word maskeles goes either way. It could be miloshin sechel, a concept of kedusha, or it could be mishakel to murder. Why? Because this word maskeles is miloshin maskil, which the Gemara says represents targum. Maskil ayidei turgamon. Because targum is something that's a switch hitter. Sometimes it's nichlal in kedusha. It's the intermediary between kedusha and tumah.
Mishakel means to be bereaved.
I think he's speaking about his mother. He says to Agag, just like your mother made other women.
So now Rabbein Azal says, so lefomim it's bechinas maskil, lefomim it's bechinas meshakil. Ve'eshes ksilus hazois, he mefate eso isho chachomo, al yidei isho maskeles. This eshes ksilus, which represents the toma, it's able to get at the isho chachomo, through the intermediary, which is this Isha Maskelis, this Targum. Ki Iker Tagboires HaKlipo Einoi El Al Yidei Loshen Targum. The main strength of the Klipa of the Tumah comes only through Loshen Targum. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Arami Oived Ovi. That Arami, which represents Aramaic, Lovon Hu Arami, wanted to kill Ovi, Av Bechochma, right? Avrech, Vayikro Avrech, Av represents Chochma, Isha Chachoma. What destroys the Isha Chachoma? This Arami, this language of Aramaic. Ube Bechinas min Arom Yancheni Bolok.
as the Pasuk says, that when Balak wanted to attack the Jews, he attacked them min Aram. Via Aram, which represents Arami, he was able to get at the Jewish people. Not directly. Bilam, who represents the Ra of Pigam Abris, everything, he couldn't get to the Yidden directly. It's min Aram yancheni Balak. Shehu loshen targum, shehu loshen arami, shederech shom mis oirin linak miagdusha. It's bedavka via there that the tumah is able to find a pesach to get at the kedusha. It can't get there directly. It uses that as an intermediary station to jump at the kedusha. Ve'ikar binyono ushleimusa. Ushleimus shaloshna koidish enoi elo alidei shemapilin hora shela targum umalin esatoiv shebetargum laloshna koidish shaydezen nishlam loshna koidish. And it's for this reason in particular that if a person wants to be misakin the loshna koidish, if a person wants to really beautify the loshna koidish and elevate it, the only way he can do it is by taking the targum and slicing it in half and making that split, being machnia, the tumah, the ra of the targum, pushing it down, pushing it away, and taking the toiv shebetargum and elevating it, making it part of the Loshna Kodesh. That's how you really bring shleimus to the Loshna Kodesh. Just like, when will the Jewish nation be sholein? When we take from the other nations of the world. All the other nations of the world represent the klipois. Among them, there are goyim that come from the three klipois temeois. Those we can't convert. Among them, there are the gerim, who come from the noiga, that intermediary type klipa. The Pasuk says, "Ein mekablin gerim limois ha-moshiach." Once Moshiach comes, we won't be mekabel gerim anymore. Why? Because what's going to bring Moshiach, what's going to bring about this shleimus loshna kodesh, is going to be when this noiga, this targum, will be nistakin completely. When the good will be severed, this mix will be sliced down the middle. The bad will be shown to be complete bad, and the part of a bad that could be attached to the good will be brought into the good, will join the good. So Rabbi Nathan says the Iker binyono ushleimus shaloshna koidish is only through being mapil the Rav Targum and Malad the Toyv Shabbatargum Loshna Koidish. Shaydezen nishlam loshna koidish. That's what brings shleimus to the loshna koidish. Velochain, that's why the Gemara uses the loshna lo'ilam yashlim odom parshiyosov imatzibur. That a person has, every Jew has a requirement on a weekly basis to be mashlim his parshiyos, the chumish, with the tzibur, to read the parsha of the week on a weekly basis. And how is he mashlim parsha Yosef HaMatzibur? Shnayim mikro v'yechot targum. By reading the targum and sandwiching it in shnayim mikro, putting it, having two measures of chumish to one measure of targum, the targum becomes botel beroiv. The ra becomes botel beroiv. And it becomes nichlal, the targum there becomes part of the kedusha. That's called shleimus loshna kodesh. V'lochein ulochein arami shehu I'm sorry. V'lovon arami shehu arami oivedovi anal. This lovon hu arami, about whom it's written that arami wanted to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Rotzo linak me'agdusha alidei atargum. He wanted to attack the kedusha, and he knew that the only way to do it was via targum. He can't attack Loshen Kodesh directly. He has to go via the targum. V'alkein, and therefore, when he made an agreement with Yaakov Avinu, the Torah makes mention of the fact that each one of them gave a name to the mizbeach, to the place where they met. Alkein koroloi yigar sohadusa. Those are the only two Aramaic words in the entire Chumash. Lovon Huarami called that place Yigar Sahadusa, the pile of witness, the pile of testimony. He used Aramaic wording. V'Yakov Hoyomales HaTargum L'Loshna Kodesh. Yaakov Avinu took that Targum and he was Malit to Loshna Kodesh. He wouldn't accept that name. He gave it his own name, a name in Loshna Kodesh. V'Alkein Koroloi Gal Eid B'Loshna Kodesh. Therefore the Torah says that he gave it a name, Gal Eid, in Loshna Kodesh. He gave it a Hebrew name. He wouldn't accept an Aramaic name for it. He gave it a Hebrew name specifically. The Bir, like Halikutim Zal, writes here that Galaid has in it the whole side of this Torah Likutim Ran, that the Ayin represents the 70 nations of the Goyim, which is that Ra Gomor, The Dalid represents the Dalid Klipois, in which we're going to make this birur of three in the garbage, and one we're going to be mevarer, split the good from the bad. And how is it done? Via the Lamed Gimel, which represents the Lamed Beis Nesivus HaChochma, the Torah, which is the Koilel of the Chof Beis Asam Doiraiso, with the Eser Sfirois. That combination, that Lamed Beis with the Koilel, is what will bring about a tikkun for this Ayin Dalet, for the Ayin Umais, the Ayin Lishoinois, and the Dalet Klipois. Rabbein Azal says now, Vizeh, now you're going to understand, when did Chava represents Loshna Kodesh. Originally, she was created incomplete. She was created attached to Adam, Siamese twins. Then the Torah says that Hashem did something and made Chava, and at that time they couldn't have children. The Gemara says they were back to back. Adam and Chava were attached by the back, ochor b'ochor. Then kaviyochol, Hashem severed them, He sliced them apart so that they were able to move. Then they became ponim b'ponim. Then there was able to be a yichud, there was able to be children produced, there was able to be a leida and everything. When did Hashem do that? Rabbein Azal says, "V'zeh vayapel Hashem Elokim tardema." The Torah says that before Hashem was able to be mashlim Chava, first He had to place them both in a deep sleep. He threw Adam and Chava into a deep sleep. The Arizal says, "Tardema mispar targum kemuva." The word tardema is exactly bigimatria targum, Aramaic. Ki al yedei hatargum ikur binyono shaloshna kodesh. Because we said before, only through targum can you build up the loshen kodesh. Only through tardema can you build up Chava. Yechavedas. Chava represents Dibur, Loshna Kodesh. Vayidei Shemalin. Exactly. Rabbein Azal is going to explain soon why Bedavka sleep, how sleep fits into this. In the next paragraph where he discusses Mikra Laila, he's going to explain exactly where the connection is between sleep and Targum. How sleep is a switch hitter. The Gemara says that if people have dreams, there's a concept of Chaloim Ayidei Malach, Chaloim Ayidei Shed. That dreams come from one of two sources, either Kedusha or Tumma. So we see that Bedavka, when a person is sleeping, that's when the person goes into this Bechina of Targum. He's semi-alive, semi-dead, semi-koidish, semi-choil. On one hand, the neshama goes up at that time to heaven, it's an aliyah. On the other hand, to the body, it's considered an experience of death, 1/60th of death. You have to wash your hands when you get up in the morning, just like when you walk out of a cemetery. Concept of being attached to death, to tumah. This combination of toi vora, good and bad. Rabbein Azal says, Validei, just as we see that Tzadikim, the Arizal, during his sleep, was able to learn secrets of Torah, and people on our level, Rachmon Elson, sometimes, Bedavka, during sleep, a person could commit the worst, could have the worst type of sin, the worst type of accident, Rachmon Elson, of Pigama Bris, happened to them at that time. As Rabbein Azal is going to explain, Validei, Shemalin es hatoiv shebetargum, Loloshna Kodesh, through a Jew working at elevating the good of the Targum, being elevating it and bringing it into Loshna Kodesh, umapilin horasheboy, and he takes the ra of the Targum and he slices it away, he pushes it down, noiflin kol ha'ayin loshin. He brings about a mapolo to all these 70 nations of the world. Bebechinas loshin noifel aloshin. As we learned earlier, that through loshin, you're able to be mapil loshinois, which is a nickname for nations. Nations of the world are called v'roim amtonimi kol ha'loshinois. That's a nickname for the nations of the world. V'zeh v'yapel nutrikin pe lohem v'lo yedaberu. Rabbein Azal says the word vayapel, vav yud pe lamed, is the roshei tevois of the statement pe lohem v'lo yedaberu, that the goyim have a mouth, but they don't speak. Their words are not considered words. Kyalidei bechinas tardemo, through this concept of this sleep, shehu bechinas loshen targum, which is corresponds to the concept of targum, shalidei ze ikar binyono shel chavo, shehu bechinas loshna kodesh, that's the main binyan of chavo, which is the symbol of loshna kodesh, alidei shemalin hatoyu sheboy umapilin hora sheboy kanal, by being able to elevate the good of the targum and knock down the ra of the targum, alidei ze noiflin kol hoayin loshen bebechinas pelohem v'lo yedaberu, through that your machnia, the 70 nations, whereby even though they have a peh, they can't speak. When a Jew achieves shleimus ha-peh, he makes it that the goyim have no peh. That even though they have a peh, their peh can't be effective. It can't do anything. Rosh Yitevis Vayapel Kanal. Now Rabbein Azal says, V'yoysef, al yidei sheho yeloi shleimus loshna kodesh. Now watch the connection between this loshna kodesh and Yosef HaTzadik and the night time. Now we're going to understand why Yosef HaTzadik in particular was able to be effective at night where other people couldn't be effective. In what item? In interpreting the night time of Paroi, in interpreting the dream of Paroi. Rabbein Azal says, V'yosef al yidei sheho yeloi shleimus loshna kodesh, because Yosef HaTzadik was matzliach and having shleimus loshna kodesh. Al yidei zeh hoye yochel, how did he achieve shleimus HaKodesh? By being misakin the Targum. How do we know he was misakin the Targum? Because the Gemara says that right before he came to Paroi, that night in prison, Hashem sent a malach to him to teach him all 70 languages. What do you need the 70 languages for? The Gemara says, because Paroi would hold himself like a big shot over Yosef HaTzadik and that he knew more than him, Hashem wanted to give Yosef the edge. That when Paroi started showing off his languages to make Yosef look small, Yosef said, there's nothing you don't know in languages that I don't, and I know something that you don't know. I know Lashon Kodesh, which you don't know, and I know all 70 languages. Why did Yosef HaTzadik have to learn the other languages? So that he should be zeuchet to shleimus loshna kodesh, which comes bedafka from the other languages, from this targum. That's what gave him the power to be able to do what he was about to do. That's what gave him the strength, lefoyoyochoy lefasher chalmen. Through that, he was able to interpret dreams. Ki ikar hachaloim hu b'sheino. Because the main dream, the main concept of dreaming, a lot of people dream when they're awake. But the ikar chaloim is b'sheino, haynu b'tardemo, when a person is in this form of tardemo, which means b'chinas targum again. Ushleimus loshna kodesh hu al yedei tardemo, shu b'chinas targum kanal. We learned before that in order to achieve shleimus loshna kodesh, that has to be done bedafka through targum, bedafka at the time of sleep. V'alkein yoysef shezocho l'shleimus loshna kodesh she'ikre shleimusoy al yedei tardemo kanal alkein hoye yedei alefasher chalmen shebetardemo. That's why Yosef HaTzadik was able to be so successful at interpreting the dreams which happened when a person's sleeping. Ki zocho levarer es b'chinas loshna targum es b'chinas ha-tardemo. Yosef HaTzadik was successful at purifying the concept of the targum, which is the concept of sleep. Dahainu lahaloi satoiv sheboy loloshna kodesh ulahapilo ra sheboy, to take the good of the targum and elevate it to loshna kodesh, and to take the bad of targum and do away with it. Sheze bechinas shleimus loshna kodesh aydei loshna targum kanal. This represents what we discussed earlier, bringing a shleimus loshna kodesh through targum. V'alkein hoy yodea liftoir hachaloim shebesheino v'tardemo shu bechinas targum. Therefore, he was able to be poiser the chaloim of Paroi, which took place bedafka during sleep. Ki hoye yodea levarer hatoiv vohemes sheyesh b'hachaloim. He was able to select the good of the dream, the honesty of the dream. The Gemara says there's no such thing as a dream without psoilus. So dreams represent toiv ora, this mix of good and bad. The whole difficulty in a dream is that selection, to be able to know which part of the dream is the chaff, which part to ignore, and which part has the message in it for the person. That's what's so confusing about dreams. The tzaddik is the one who knows how to deal with this eitz hadas, toiv ora. He's the one who's qualified to select the good from, to extract the good from the bad, to get rid of the bad and hold on to the good. He's able to the mevara the toiv amishesh b'chaloyim shubechinas tardem b'chinas targum. Why? Ki hu zocho levarer es loshen targum. Because Yosef HaTzadik was zeicher to be mevara the loshen targum. Sheze ikur b'chinas shleimus loshna kodesh haidei targum shezocho laze kanal. That's the main concept of shleimus loshna kodesh through targum, where the tzaddik is zeicher to rise to a level where he's capable of taking even an item that's mush, that's good and bad mixed together, and even that can't mess the tzaddik up. He knows how to be able to sort out, to separate the good from the bad, and be able to bring a tikkun to the good. Where do we see a case of this? The Gemara says that when a person is searching for a Rebbe, A person is not allowed to select a human being to be his rabbi. If a person finds a human being, stay away. What do you look for in a rabbi? Ki sifsei koin yishru das v'toiro yivakshem yipiyu ki malach Hashem tzvoko yisu. You want to seek das and toiro from a person? Pick a person who's like a malach. The Gemara says in Chagiga, im horav doim ala malach Hashem tzvoko yis. If the rabbi is as holy, as pure as an angel, Torah Yavakshem Ipiyu, seek Torah from his mouth. And if not, stay away from him. So the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Meir? We know the Gemara says Rabbi Meir had a rabbi called Acher. His rabbi became an apikoiris, and even after that he continued to learn from him. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Rimoin Motzo. Toichoy Ochal, Kliposoy Zorak. Rabbi Meir found a pomegranate. Just as in a pomegranate, there's good and bad, and you have to remove the good from the bad, so too Rabbi Meir was on a madrega to be able to select out the good from the bad in his rabbi. Not every student can do that. You have to be a Rabbi Meir to be on a level to do that. Now, a pomegranate is the only item that has good and bad in it. What about an apple? What about an orange? There's other things that have peels, klipos, and insides. Why does the Gemara use this word, rimoin? The Arizal explains that the word rimoin is the whole secret of what we're talking about here. Because the word rimoin is bigimatria, one of the angels in heaven. Matat, mem tes tes, reish vov nun. I'm sorry, no. The Arizal explains there is an angel in heaven who represents the concept of toiv vora. Because in heaven there are two yeshivos. There's Mesifta Yiloh, there's the yeshiva of Hashem, where there's no concept of machlekes, where there's only psak halacha, there's only good there. Whereas there's another yeshiva in heaven called the Mesifta Derokia, a lower level yeshiva, of which the Rosh Yeshiva is called the Malach Mem Tes. It's mentioned in the Gemara many times. The angel whose name begins with the words, with the letters Mem Tes Tes, Reish Vov Nun, Matat, and then the word Roin, that's the name of this angel. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of that second level yeshiva where there is machlokes. There's kosher posel, tomei tohor, osur mutter. There is a concept of debate over there. So the Arizal explains that that angel's name contains in it this whole secret. Because the center letters of that malach's name, tes tes, is bigimatria chai. Chai means tzaddik, toiv, good. The remaining letters are Rimoin. Reish Mem Vov Nun. Rimoin is bigimatria Toiv plus Ra. The word Toiv Vora is bigimatria Rimoin. I believe Reish Mem Vov Nun. Just the second, Ra is 270. Toiv is 17 is 287. And Vov is 293, exactly. And then Toiv Vora, each word with the koil, I think it comes out to 29. Somehow the Arizal shows the Gematria how this Rimoin is the union of Toiv Vora mixed together. That the Reb Meir was on a madrega to be able to sort out the good from the bad where it's mixed together. This concept of Targum. We're going to see soon how this is the whole secret as to why the Torah Shebal Peh, why the Chumash has no shlemus, the Chumash, which is Beloshna Kodesh, has no shlemus to it unless a person brings about the tikkun for the Targum, which is the Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Cholent, Toiv Ora, where the halacha is not clear. It's all confusing. And a person fights his way, slices his way with a machete through the Kiddusha, the concept of the jungle of the Talmud, trying to sort out the good from the bad, the psak halacha from the confusion, from the hiddenness. That's the Iker Shlemus to the Torah Shebichsav. That's what separates the Jews from Lahavdil the Goyim. By the Goyim, there's a concept of a Bible, an Old Testament, and that's where it stops. What separates the Jews from the Goyim is the Torah Shebal Peh. Because the Iker Shlemus Loshna Kodesh is Bedavka through Loshna Targum. That's why the most important section of the Torah, the secrets of Torah, the Zohar Kodesh, had to be in Aramaic. That's why the highest Tefillah, Kaddish, is Bedavka in Aramaic. In this chapter, we're going to learn tremendous, tremendous insights to a lot of different items in Yiddishkeit. Halavai we should be zecher to understand and fulfill the advice that's being written here in terms of what we have to do, in terms of Tikkun HaBris, in terms of Shmira Saloshoin and Shlemus HaDibur. It's Hashem. Excuse me? So what? His question is, if these were such tzaddikim, it would seem, and they were able to bring a dead person back to life, they couldn't figure out right from wrong, good from bad. The answer is in this chapter on Likud Imran, that the moment Adam and Chava ate from the eight tzadas, Toivara, it's like originally Hashem gave man the option. You could either have all good, which was the Eitz HaChaim, which was pure good, or you can choose Toivara, good and bad mixed together, where you'll have to have that struggle of selecting good from bad. If they would have passed the test and not partaken from the Eitz HaDas Toivara, there would not have been any confusion, any difficulty in the study of Torah. It would have been clear, smooth sailing. Because they opted, they fell victim to this test and partook from good and bad, now the tikkun is that the Jews have to be given this chalant, this good and bad mix. It's not as if Rabbi Akiva didn't know the right answer, Rabbi Meir didn't know the right answer. They had to present their wisdom in such a way that it's zuh, it's mixed together, and now you have to break your head to work out the halacha. We have to break our heads to work out the halacha. And even the rabbis of the Gemara, on their level, had to go through this concept of searching to find, to extract the toy from the ra. It's all based on that original pigam of opting to hook up to this toy of ra mixed together. There's a machlokes as to what Esther Hamalka was thinking when she came into Achashverosh. What was she thinking at the time? There's like eight different opinions. So the Gemara says, one of the rabbis says, hey, what are we playing for? Hey you, Eliyahu Navi, come here. What does Hashem say? What was she thinking at the time? The Gemara says, Eliyahu Navi said, guess what? She was thinking every single item that each one of these rabbis said. It seemed as if they were machlokas. This rabbi said she was thinking this. This rabbi said, there are several examples like that where they did check in heaven. I'm telling you, there's a lot to say. This chapter on Likutei Moran is like a foundation for unbelievable yesoidos in Yiddishkeit. Yesoidos in understanding the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh and the concept of Birur Halacha. And you know, we're going to see, we'll see some. And I said in the introduction to the first year that the most Likutei Halachos, as far as I know, is on this chapter. There's 30 chapters of Likutei Halachos, or 39 chapters, I think, of Likutei Halachos on this one chapter of Likutei Moran, you know, which means tremendous, tremendous wealth.